VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us for a very important topic on today's Crosstalk program. America's farmland is under attack, and with that comes an attack on our food supply. I mean, these things are inseparably linked together. These attacks are coming from various fronts. There's the farmland coming under attack, falling into the hands of communist China. There is the farmland under threat due to radical environmental policies. And then there is the threat from the CO2 pipeline impacting states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and others. Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center. He is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and the political novel Erased. Tom, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
So let's talk about America's farmland under attack. And let's first mention, we've got many prongs we're going to bring into the picture here, but let's first mention communist China. We understand that Chinese-owned entities, some linked to the Communist Party, have been purchasing land in South Dakota and elsewhere in the U.S. Some have reported this at a breathtaking pace. And when you hear numbers, it's astounding, Tom. I saw, according to the USDA, estimates of Chinese holdings of U.S. agriculture lands in 2010, the year 2010, was 14,000 acres. But by 2020, that increased more than 25 times to 352,000 acres. That was in 2020. Tom, these numbers are astounding.
Absolutely astounding, and some of them are right next to maybe secure military bases and so forth, so there's speculation of what are they doing there, watching things. We have balloons and drones flying
yes,
over everything.
Yes, yes.
The other thing is that this is where our farm land is, where our food is grown, and if you've got an enemy that wants to destroy your country, destroy your economy and everything else, that would be a good place to start. That would be a dream for most of these dictators in past history. And here they are doing this. And, you know, it's massive amounts of land. I will tell you that there is a congressman from Texas, Chip Roy, who has introduced the Securing American Land from Foreign Interference Act. It's H.R. 344. And the purpose of the legislation is to block communist China from purchasing American farmland. There have been other areas around entities, state legislatures and county legislatures and so forth, that have been working to get legislation in to block them from buying this land. So there is, you know, across the country, there is a great fear of what's going on here, and there are some efforts to try to do something about it.
Yeah, and farms, Tom, that don't sell out to communist China, they're the ones coming under attack. I just saw a story on WND.com a few weeks ago about the state of Michigan targeting, with an investigation, the owner of a horse farm who is refusing to sell to a Chinese Communist Party link company that's proposing this battery plant nearby. The farm had refused to sell to Goshen, a company that the farm says has lied about its ties to communist China. But it's not China, you know, China that's coming under attack here. It is the farm owner, the landowner themselves.
Yeah, this is a tactic that we're seeing all across the country. You've got these corporations like BlackRock. BlackRock is the largest, most powerful, richest corporation in the world. And they are systematically buying up land or taking it by eminent domain, whichever comes first, to put a lot of these policies we've talked about in the past in place. And they use intimidation tactics to for the poor farmers that are just, and they just want to grow their crops. They're just folk. And here they are coming under siege, as you've just described, by these kinds of forces, and they are working directly with communist China to try to put all this stuff in place. And So, I mean, you know, it's that's what they're doing.
Friends, we could spend the whole program just on China and the buying up of land and where and why and how. But there are so many other prongs to this. And, Tom, it's not only China, but I just saw a story from the Western Journal. In Arizona, a Saudi-owned dairy company is growing alfalfa in the American Southwest for the purpose of feeding their livestock in the Gulf Kingdom. Not only that, but the groundwater has been under attack. Up until recently, they were drilling 1,000 feet into the water table, pumping up to 3,000 gallons of water per minute to irrigate the crops, to send those crops to Saudi Arabia. There was an interview with the Attorney General, Chris Mays, and she thought most Arizonans see it as outrageous that the state is allowing a foreign-owned company to stick a straw in the ground, use our water for free to grow alfalfa, send it to Saudi Arabia. And they and the AG said, we can't, in the midst of an epic drought, afford to do dumb things with water in the state of Arizona anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's a shortage there. There's been lots of complaints about California taking water from those states with that can't pass it, but now you get a foreign country doing it. This really, Jim, goes right down to what we've been warning about all these years of the force of global governance and what that means. And you know, the whole Great Reset, all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. getting into it, the attack is on sovereign nations and having a global economy. This is what this leads to. Those forces that have political power to take what they want get it, and there's not a rule of law to stop them. And this is what we've been warning about all this time, and you're seeing the results of that, that you know, U.S. sovereign land doesn't exist anymore. Private property doesn't exist anymore when they put all this in place. I have said many, many times that the threat, they're always using the threat of putting these lots of rules and stuff in place under the excuse of climate change and so mm-hmm. forth. They're always talking about conservation easements, for example, that you put a conservation easement in and then government can't come in and take your land. Developers can't come in and take your land. And I've kept arguing, if the if the property owner doesn't want to sell the land, how does a developer come in and take it unless government gives them the power, eminent right. domain, so forth, to do that? And now you're seeing more and more local governments and state governments and, of course, the federal government allowing this to happen, using eminent domain, saying that these guys putting this stuff in place are some kind of a public utility and that sort of thing. They're using all these kind of tactics, and the whole bottom line is private property ceases to exist.
And I want to hit another attack, Tom, and this one is coming from the Bureau of Land Management, who, along with leftists, they're locking up the land to prevent it from being used for drilling. They'll put all these regulations and toughen things up and say, well, there's no interest in drilling here, so we're going to lock it up. But they're also locking it up for grazing purposes. That's going to impact our food supply.
Oh, absolutely. And, this is 30 by 30 that Biden is pushing is literally part of an international policy to lock up all the land. They really mean 50 by 50. They want 50% of all the land, actually, by 2030 is the plan. Think of that. 50% of all the land in this country locked up within the next 7 years. And this is where they're moving on this, and the BLM and other agencies moving to stop here. The Western states were set up differently than the Eastern states. It happened back when the railroads were huge, just getting started as those states were being settled. And so they made things differently. They had all this public land so that the railroads didn't have to pay for right-of-ways. And the people who did own land there, they were determined to be public land, but they were given guarantees that they had grazing rights, they had water rights, so on and so forth. Now the BLM moves in and saying, well, we're not doing that anymore. This land has to be protected. That's public land, so you can't have those cattle grazing there. That's damaging the public land, which belongs to the people. These are the excuses that they use. But this is why, and you know, the, when you don't have private property, you don't have that protection, right. you're just a pawn in the game.
And friends, they're not realizing this is food for the people who own the land. Tom, speaking of food supply, I saw the Children's Health Defense recently reported that New York City is going to begin tracking the carbon footprint of household food consumption, putting caps on how much red meat can be served in public institutions. Part of this initiative to achieve a 33% reduction in carbon emissions from food by 2030.
You know, this is all coming from the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. And I've got his book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset. And, you know, what he comes straight out and says capitalism is the target. And they've come up with these ESG rules, environment, social, and government. That's everything piled together. Everything under the term sustainable development. Everywhere you hear that, you have people who just, it's a trigger word to get you to voluntarily give up your liberties. Oh, we've got to be sustainable. And what the Great Reset is saying is that now on Wall Street, the corporations that can't prove that their products, their process, and so forth aren't sustainable, then they won't be invested in. So now you're going to start hearing ads, and you already are hearing them, of how they're claiming that their product is sustainable. And it gets absolutely ridiculous in some of the things they're declaring on this. But, you know, Klaus Schwab is the one who said, you will own nothing and be happy about it. No private property, no private things that you own and so forth, it'll all be granted to you by government. And watching your carbon footprint, how, you know, if you go in and buy food and you're buying more beef than you are vegetables, maybe you're not sustainable. That'll affect your credit score. That'll affect your ability to live in society. And, you know, communist China has been doing this for a long time. And now it's coming here, all under this Great Reset.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out here, with this being said, Tom, that there are those who think, well, the pandemic is over. This Great Reset push is kind of over with or paused for now. But there is so much that is working to bring this about. And this is one of those elements.
Yeah. You know, MasterCard is offering a new credit card that measures what you purchase with it. And if you're not being sustainable, it'll shut down. Right down to that.
Wow. Well, friends, it is very evident and is coming before us here. We're talking about farmland, the food supply under attack, and the CO2 pipeline. Now, we're just seconds away from the break, so we're going to take this break. And if you are in the heartland of America, if you are in the Midwestern part of the United States of America, South Dakota, are you listening? North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Iowa, Illinois, you need to be listening, because as we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about this carbon capture pipeline. And friends, keep in mind, this is also an attack upon America's farmland. It's also an attack upon our food supply. So we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just 1 minute. Tom DeWeese is with us today from the American Policy Center. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Friends, sharing critical information with you here today on Crosstalk. We've done umpteen programs dealing with the Great Reset and heading toward one world government and losing sovereignty. I mean, we just came through the World Health Organization, and we had Matt Staver on earlier this week as to what happened in this pandemic treaty and all these amendments, hundreds of amendments passed unanimously. Now to come back, the plan is to come back next May and to pass this with very sweeping action across every nation on this globe. Well, part of this whole part of the Great Reset is also that of the control over your what we know as private property, but it's not in their plans for you to have private property. We're talking about the farmland, our food supply under attack, and also we're going to introduce this carbon capture pipeline. Tom, there are many threats against private property rights, but let's talk about this carbon capture pipeline. What does this pipeline do? And how is this a threat to farmland?
Yeah, when I first learned about this, just about this time last year, I dubbed it, all the incredible, radical environmental programs that I've had to deal with over the last three decades, this was absolutely the dumbest and the most dangerous that I have ever had to face. The idea here is that in order to save the planet, that we need to take CO2 out of the air and bury it in the ground, and in this particular one, there are some other ones of these around the country, but this is the one that's underway right now. They're working to put it in place. It covers South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Iowa, and also Illinois is affected by it. And the idea is they are putting these pipelines together that go underneath farmland. And then they're taking those pipelines, then bury the CO2 into the ground. And again, as I said, they say this is supposed to get CO2 out of the air and protect us from climate change. Well, what's happening is they are using, first of all, there are several corporations that are working on this. There's Summit Carbon Solutions, Navigator, CO2 Ventures are two of the main ones building it. BlackRock is heavily involved in financing this. There's also money in federal programs to provide billions of dollars to put these things in across the country. And they've sent letters out to farmers who are in the path of this and telling them that if they will voluntarily give them the right of way to bring this into their property, then they'll give them some money. But when they do that, they tear up the topsoil, and they don't go on the edge of their property or something like that. They go right straight through the middle, wherever they want to go with it, and they can't grow crops on that. Now, they've also said in the letter, well, if you don't voluntarily join us on this, then we are going to take your land by eminent domain.
Oh, my.
So there's the threat.
Forced volunteerism.
Exactly. And you've had, there's been a lot of farmers who, they're afraid what they're dealing with on this, and they have signed these easements. Interestingly enough, as we have built the fight to try to stop this, we are really making some progress in doing that. I believe it was Vanguard, one of the corporations building this, said that if we succeeded in stopping this pipeline, then that property that they already have easement signed on it, that's theirs. They'll just sell that property. And I have argued with county supervisors and so forth that if a project is null and void, if you stop it and it's not happening, then those easements should be thrown into trash.
Yes.
And that's one thing we're working towards. But that's the mentality of these guys. And one of the things you find with the elected officials, county supervisors, state legislators, whatever, you see this across the country, is they put together these appointed boards. And the purpose of the appointed board basically is to do bureaucratic work of some policy they've put in place. then suddenly, when they don't want to deal with the public, they will say, well, the board says we have to do this. You know, who's the boss here?
Mm-hmm.
And they're using, in Iowa, there's the Iowa Utilities Board, three guys are appointed to this thing, and these corporations are working, pressuring them to give them the power, private corporations, to take private land for a private operation, a private this pipeline, and make them public utilities so they can have the power of eminent domain. This is what we're dealing with on this.
Tom, is carbon harmful?
No. That's the whole crux of the whole thing. Plants need CO2 to survive. And I have a chart that I actually got from the U.S. Navy, and I had this verified by Dr. Willie Soon, who's one of the main climate scientists who poses all this stuff. This shows that we are going into a CO2 starvation, that we need, as an average, to grow crops, we need about 1,600 parts per million of CO2 to be there. Today, in a lot of areas, we have about 400 parts per million. That is on our way to starvation. I have reports from other scientists that with these wind and solar farms that they're putting together, they are setting up the situation where we are about to go into a new dust bowl, which destroyed the West, the Western states in the 1930s. Because one thing we need, and I don't know if you've seen these photographs of these thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of solar panels that go straight through. Two things. First of all, they clear trees. Millions of trees to put those things in place. Second of all, underneath those solar panels is cement. You know, when I first started fighting the environmental movement back in the 90s, I'd always have some environmentalists get on the phone, in an interview when I was on a radio show, and they'd say, Tom, you're part of the AstroTurf crowd. You just want to pave the earth. No, I don't, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is underneath there for the infrastructure to put this together. Meanwhile, the wind farms, these massive towers, some of them are as high as a 70-story building, skyscraper, and you put thousands and thousands of these across there, nothing is going to be flying, no birds, so forth. Remember when we used to call the environmentalists tree huggers?
Yep.
And they, and also whales, we're going to save the whales. Now, putting these wind towers out into the ocean is affecting the whale culture out there and other wildlife in the seas. This is all designed to save the planet. And,
and that doesn't make sense in itself because they're saying CO2 is harmful, and yet they're going to take it, they're going to liquefy it, they're going to transport it through these multiple states, through pipelines, and then pump it into the earth, which they worship. They call it Mother Earth. I mean, this harmful material, they're going to pump it in there, and they think that's good for every – what even makes them think it's going to stay there?
Exactly, and two things. One, they had a situation in Mississippi where one of these pipelines erupted, and the effect on people, this green cloud covered all this area, this community. People were affected mentally. Some of them still are, and cars wouldn't run because it sucked out oxygen and so forth. So these are dangerous. This is so much more dangerous than an oil pipeline that the Greens do everything they can to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. The other interesting thing that has just started to come out here, you know how Bill Gates has purchased so much land across the country, became the biggest owner of farmland, and of course he's a major advocate of getting rid of cattle and having fake meat to be brought up. Also, he purchased, particularly in North Dakota, 2,100 acres of a potato farm area up there in northern Dakota, South North Dakota, and lo and behold, the pipeline is going to run up in that area right under his property, and they are now talking about using the CO2 to help make jet fuel and other kinds of electronic fuel like that. And guess who's going to benefit from that? But the other farmers who have it taking their land and moving underneath get nothing out of it. But guys like him playing ball with them, pockets get stuffed.
Wow, wow. That's amazing. Tom, you know, this is such a massive issue, and there are many who, you know, great pressure is being put upon landowners in regard to this. But I understand in just a few days, you're heading out to this region and holding meetings and events. And is there a groundswell of people? I mean, is there interest in putting a stop to this?
Yes, there is. First of all, about this time last year, I went to Iowa, and I did talks right across the state in the path of the pipeline. And I really called on the county supervisors to take action. Quit being cowards behind this stuff and stand up for the people who elected you. And that has had a big effect. Now, starting next Monday, I start in Billings, Montana, which, you know, the pipeline isn't there, but the wind and solar panels and all that kind of stuff, the farms are the attacks on their farmland is there. I will be in Billings on Monday. I'll be in Broadus, Montana, on Tuesday. Then I go to Gillette, Wyoming, and then to Rapid City, South Dakota, on Thursday. And then on Friday, I'll be in Sioux Falls. And on Saturday, I'll be in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And there I'll be talking specifically about how to stand up and how to fight back on this. But the folks, even the folks that I worked with in Iowa, and it's spread out to some of these other states, have done a magnificent job of standing up to this. We're trying to get the farmers to understand there's somebody behind them, somebody trying to help them. Don't fall for this. Don't sign any of these easements. And getting county supervisors to stand up and protect the property rights of the people in their jurisdiction. And that's the purpose of it. That's what we're going to teach. And it's starting to happen. And there, I talked to some of the folks out there already, and they've told me they honestly believe we might succeed in stopping this.
And, Tom, I know you've been a strong advocate of really working on that local level. So it's with that local group of county supervisors or planning commissions and so forth. That's where action needs to happen.
It does. And the people have to understand, trying to just deal with Congress, you know, you're an individual trying to talk to them, even if you're a local organization or something, having an impact on Congress isn't going to have much.
Mm-hmm.
You have to focus on the local level. Our founding fathers put our system together where you had the most impact there. Those people who are putting these programs in place understand that, and they are right there at the local level. And they literally surround your local elected officials, and they bring them in sample legislation. They got all kind of money. They know what grants to bring in to get this stuff in place. And we aren't there. Those of us who are opposed to these things aren't organized effectively and you know, having an effect on how to deal with that. And so this stuff just goes through. And then you, one or two of us wander into a city council meeting and try to make a point, and they don't listen to us because, well, we're the nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Tom DeWeese is with us here today on Crosstalk. His website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. But he's going out on a speaking tour next week, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, multiple sites there. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is our guest today, and he's from the American Policy Center, talking about farmland, food supply under attack, the CO2 pipeline, and taking a stand in opposition of raising awareness of what is at stake here in all of this. And friends, don't think that, oh, because you're in New York or because you're in Florida listening today, that you're not going to be impacted by this. Because, Tom, when we talk about we're talking about the breadbasket of America. I mean, this is where the majority of our food supply is grown. Sure, California produces a lot of food, but when we think about the crops, we think about the herds and so forth in the heartland of America, that's going to impact the whole nation.
It is. And they... The attack is on the cattle industry and the pork industry, the chicken industry. All those things have been going through attacks to stop, to shut them down. Also on these carbon capture pipelines, I got a call from a state representative in Louisiana a couple weeks ago. They've got one proposed there. He told me that they are already bringing 52 lobbyists in to cover the state legislature. There's also one proposed in Virginia. And so this is a growing thing, and it will absolutely destroy our way of life, our economic system, our legislative system, everything, if this stuff is allowed to be put in place and they control our food supply. And, one thing I wanted to say was, you're talking about these solar panels, and I talked about how there's cement underneath there, mm-hmm. and there's nothing growing. Jokingly, I've said, actually, one of the things that probably will begin to grow underneath there are bugs. Oh, golly, we'll just gather those up and eat the bugs.
Yeah.
That's in the agenda, too. Yeah. That's the frightening part.
It really is. And Tom, as these blades come to end of life, these can't be recycled, can they?
No, they can't. And because of that, I got a report the other day that... they have discovered that maybe they could make them out of balsa wood. And that now has become the rage to make the blades for those wind towers out of balsa wood. But now they're looking at billions of trees being cut down to make the blades for these things.
Oh, my. The inmates are running the asylum, Tom.
Absolutely.
And, friends, as you combine this, last fall, September 28, 2022, the Biden-Harris administration announced more than $8 billion in new commitments, part of a call to action for White House Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health. Tom, they're talking about a Bowery indoor vertical farming company, new partnerships. You know, we grow upwards our food. This would be in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, Arlington. They also are talking about the interesting program here. They have FoodSmart, a food as medicine company that integrates dietary assessments, nutritional counseling with online food ordering services, and talking about creating over 10,000 nutritional professionals of color by building partnerships with universities, online education companies, and so forth. The plan is just, even here, including edutainment segments and calls to action to emphasize the importance of healthy eating and physical activity. And normally, meat is not a part of this.
No, meat is not. And I Facebook the other day, Range Magazine had a photograph, and the top photograph was a picture of these, as I described, these massive solar panels as far as the eye could see. And it said, we need to get these to save the planet
right.
and save us from, and underneath they had a cow standing there, save us from the cow.
Wow.
Insanity.
Yeah. It is. And using our cropland to begin with is a net result of this. Friends, we're opening our phone lines to take your comments and questions to Tom DeWeese today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Many of you are living in the heartland, the states that we're talking about here, whether it be that of Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois. But folks, this is going to impact the nation as a whole. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Tom, I know you've got information on this and so many other related issues, the attack on private property rights, et cetera, on your website. Tell us about it.
Tell about the website?
Yes.
Yeah, AmericanPolicy.org. We've got almost a 30-year archive of articles we've written on these things in there, all separated under different subjects. And so you can see, you get to get background on it. We've also got, as you mentioned, my book, Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals. We also have a manual on there, a handbook on how to organize at the local level. And this is, as I speak, I go around and I'm teaching people. We're going to do much more of this, teaching people how to organize at the local level. People get intimidated by the powerful forces they're up against and don't know what to do. But there are very effective ways that you can do this. I'm really pleased. I have just joined forces with an organization called CFACT, Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow.
Yep.
These guys do fantastic work. They've done two films called Climate Hustle and Climate Hustle 2 to expose the lies of the whole climate change issue. And they are now helping to provide me with some of the things I need to be more effective in this teaching and getting out there. They're going to allow me to be out there more than I have been in the past. And so that's going to be a really powerful merging of our efforts there.
Friends, our lines are packed. We're going to go to these calls now. And as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to call in the program. People calling from Wisconsin, South Dakota, Illinois. Let's go to the lines, beginning with Brad in West Dallas. You're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Brother Jim. I want to talk about the government guarantees that these Americans many decades ago were given when they started farms and ranches out west.
Yeah.
The government doesn't seem to have a problem abdicating those promises today. But they're very choosy about it, too. Here in Wisconsin, I remember, I know you remember back in the 70s or 80s, we had trouble with Indian fishing and, you know, treaty rights because of the ceded territories that the Indians ceded to the U.S. government. And when all was said and done, the Indians were allowed to spearfish during the spawn, and we had to lower our bag limits, save, for instance, on a walleye, from 5 per day to 3 per day. And that's the way it is pretty much now. And that takes up about one-third of this entire state, those ceded territories. They have no problem sticking to those promises, but they have a problem with non-Indians that we want them to stick with their promises. Those ranches and farms out west, everything that happened since then, whether they were sold or stayed in the family, was based on those federal promises. And they just, what's the big deal?
Yeah. Thank you, Brad, for raising that. Tom, your response.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been farmers who have filed suit on that, based on that, because they were given guarantees of their grazing rights and their water rights and those kind of things. So basically, that was their private property, except that it's public land. And that, you know, was a weakness. And as some of these farmers have tried to file suit on that, then every time they might win in a court, then the BLM will file an appeal to it, and it goes on forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a very good friend who passed away in the middle of, you know, years and years of this kind of legislation, and never did regain the control of his property.
Yeah, BLM does not run out of money, do they?
Nope.
Let's go to Clinton, Winfred, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Just going to mention with the CO2 pipeline, it's very evil. We need CO2 in the atmosphere. And I want to point to a scripture of who Satan is and who's behind this. God tells us that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And that's what God created. And this is totally against God. It's against the God-given rights that we have been given for individuals and freedoms. And we have the ability as individuals to stand up and fight against this. We fought against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Now the CO2 pipeline is bending around us, and they're supposed to be following that easement, but now they're bending around our farm. They're not going to fight with us again. So we need to group, be as a group and be informed, and we can win this battle.
Thank you for the call. And, Tom, your response, farmers, ranchers gathering together. I mean, one fighting this on their own is not going to be too successful, are they?
No, they're not. And the divide and conquer is the way these guys operate. Mm-hmm. And, the idea, I've said this many times, if you finally accept the idea that our republic is dead and there's no hope in stopping them, so why fight? That's a self-fulfilling prophecy,
Yeah. And
that's exactly what will happen. But we are seeing others stand up. I was on very beginning of working on this issue, I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of folks in Iowa, and one of the gentlemen was a farmer who said in the call that these corporations had come out on his land and staked it already. They don't have an easement to it. They don't have any rights to it at all, but they staked the land already. And I said, go out and take up those stakes. It's your property. And he did. And they haven't come back after him yet.
Well,
but this is what we have to do. And a little civil disobedience, that's it. It's your land. And so this idea that these corporations are going to file suit against any county that passes any kind of legislation to protect the property rights of their constituents, and so you get some counties who are afraid to pass such legislation. Said, "What are they going to sue you for? Protecting your constituents?"
Yeah, indeed.
Stand up and get a backbone.
We've got Tony next in Charleston, Illinois. Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. Hey, we were talking. You guys were talking about those concrete foundations that they leave behind. You know.
Yes.
They leave them once, because I talked to a couple of farmers that were thinking about doing that here in Illinois, and they said that the reason why they told them to forget it was if they decided to pull up stakes with the windmills and decide to leave, they left the windmill, they left the concrete foundation, and it was up to the farmer to deal with it.
Wow.
Too bad, so what, who cares? And they told them, said, we don't need your windmills. We'll go ahead and continue growing our crops.
Yeah.
And I know last summer they were having trouble with, they had some up in the northern part of Illinois, up around Ford County and up in there. And a lot of those windmills were shut down, and they had this black stuff around the propellers.
Yeah.
And what it was is the seals had went out of them, and the oil was flying out everywhere. And they had to shut them off in order to keep them from spinning off the spindle and having one crazy-looking projected missile flying across and going to who knows how far. So it's crazy. It's nuts. Electricians I've talked to that are, I call them professional because they do industrial electrics, they said there's no way that our grid system can even hold up to what they're wanting to do. He said it's just ridiculous, and it's all about control.
Thank you, Tony, for that. Tom, a quick comment before the break.
Absolutely, and the thing is that this solar panels of wind power doesn't provide electricity. If they succeeded in getting rid of all of the other sources of electricity that we have, these would provide about 4% of what we need.
My, and the other point he's raising, hey, by the way, it takes oil to run these things.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, thanks for the call. We'll take more calls right after the break. Folks, stay with us. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us today, and he is president of American Policy Center. His website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Hey, do you ever think the courts in America are just making things up? Has America gone through a revolution simply because the courts have gone off the rail and just started making stuff up out of thin air? Well, you're not alone. And this began many, many years ago because they bought into the lie that the Constitution is living and breathing and evolving. Society evolves, morals evolve, therefore the law must evolve. Well, did you know that in 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court in the case Engle versus Vitale went so far as to deconstruct the meaning of words, which is what the left always does, deconstructs the meaning of words. They declared that the word church, well, that means a religious activity in public. That's what church means, a religious activity in public. Therefore, kids who pray in school are involved in establishment of a religion and a church. Yeah, the courts have been making it up as they go along for a long time. And now we see how we got where we are today with the tyranny.
Tom DeWeese with us here today on Crosstalk as we're speaking about farmland, our food supply under attack, the CO2 pipeline. And as we mentioned, Tom is going out in this coming week, this first full week of June, and coming out and speaking. Tom, just before we go back to the phone lines, if you can, just quickly recap where you're going to be at starting on Monday, June the 5th.
All right. If you're in these places, take notes. At 6 o'clock in Billings, Montana, I'll be at the Billings Public Library. At 7 o'clock in Broadus, I'll be at the Power River County District High School Auditorium. On Wednesday at 6:30 in Gillette, Wyoming, the New Life Wesleyan Church. And Thursday, June 8th in Rapid City, 6:30, I'll be at the Landmark Church. And in Sioux Falls on Friday at 7 o'clock, the T Events Center. And Saturday, June 10th, at 6:30 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, I'll be at the City Lights Bar and Events Center.
Okay, and meeting in the room there. Okay, Tom DeWeese with us. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We've got Mary, been holding the longest, Central Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. CO2 was established and created by the Almighty Creator himself.
Indeed.
It's absolutely necessary to the earth and its creatures. This is critical biblical protocol that the dark demon forces are literally taking issue and attacking the Almighty with their demonic insanity.
Thank you, Mary. Diana is next. Carmel, Indiana, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. My brother and I own some farmland that was passed down to us by our parents. We cash rent that farmland, and recently the county that is, farmland is in, they wanted to purchase a third of an acre to put a culvert in and enough for an easement. I'm just wondering, is this going on in Indiana as well as the other states you mentioned?
I'm not sure there's a pipeline happening there yet, but they are definitely, these policies are very similar all over to take control of private property for various reasons. And so, you know, you run into the same attitude and the same kind of rules and regulations. Yeah.
Well, should I be worried about the what they said they're doing? Are they really putting in a culvert, or are they holding on to this until...
I would really question
start doing this in Indiana.
I'd see, you know, if you could get any kind of information whatsoever about what you know, what their real intention is.
Yeah.
It's, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Doug is next in Lansing, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, it's good to hear from both of you. I am enjoying today's program. I just want to make a comment. I live in Michigan. I actually drive throughout central Michigan. In fact, right now, I'm in an area where there are hundreds of these wind turbines. And not only do they make a problem for the environment and such and so forth, but they're ruining God's creation. It just ruins the landscape, in my opinion. And also with these satellite panels, a lot of the cities around are putting these, not satellite panels, solar panels that are... And those two, I believe, are ruining the landscape that God has given us. It's just hideous.
Hmm. Thank you, Doug. It does not provide a pretty landscape, does it, Tom?
No, it doesn't. And they're working to down the east coast of the country. They are working to put about 3,100 of these windmills out into the water there and along the coastline.
Wow.
And tourism and these beautiful places, the visions, the vistas and so forth of it, is just absolutely destroyed. And again, they keep doing this under the guise of protecting the environment as they destroy it.
Yeah. And they wonder why so much marine life washing up on shore. Let's go to Andrew next in Iowa. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys bringing this to the forefront. I just had the opportunity this week to attend a meeting in Des Moines, Iowa that PHMSA held looking at regulations around these pipelines. And one key thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting is Princeton did a report of how many thousands of miles they're going to need of this carbon pipeline to sequester, which is around 66,000 miles of carbon pipeline. And we're an impacted landowner. It impacts us today, but as you talk to your neighbors, make sure you get them on board that this could impact them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't see that large number. They just see 6,000 miles today.
Yeah. So. Yeah, good point. Thank you for raising that, Tom.
Yeah, that's an excellent point because this is one project. They've got a lot of projects going on, and they totally intend to control all the land. The whole 30 by 30 issue we talked about at the very beginning about, you know, where they really want 50% of the land under control and so forth. This is how they do it. And they've always got a really good reason why they're going to do this, to protect you. But it's not.
We're going to squeeze one last call in. I know many of you more would love to speak, but let's get Jerry in from Whitewater, Wisconsin. Jerry, you're on the air.
Yeah. I can't believe nobody's mentioned the fact that the Supreme Court, Brandon talked about it on Wednesday, had a guest on that said the Supreme Court voted 9-0, even the liberals, that the government cannot seize your land, your property. Well, isn't this an important issue?
Yes, it is. I'm glad you mentioned that, and that's a start on this. And the EPA, what they really were saying was the EPA for years has been overshooting their authority, and they talk about the wetlands, and this case came about because of a family that did not have any water on their land or anything else. They're in a neighborhood with other houses and so forth, but they declared they lived on a wetland, and so that was the navigable waters of the U.S., and they wouldn't let them build on that, and they've been fighting it for years, and finally the Supreme Court came down. That's a bright spot at the moment. We need more of them.
There's kind of a connection with this, but not in full. In this was dealing with navigable waters, and they're trying to say, well, all, you know, waters share the same water table, so if it flows into your property, that gives the federal government the right to deal with your property, and it does not. A very important aspect to that. Tom, we could go on another hour, no problem with calls, but the critical issue, and you've got info on your website as well.
We do. At AmericanPolicy.org, we've got lots of articles on this issue and so forth. So, but number one, do not sign a conservation easement or any kind of easement of your land to these kind of thieves.
Friends, you can find out more at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org, and speaking all next week in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on the program called Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.